Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast, the number one spirituality podcast on iTunes. My name is Emma Mumford and I'm your host. I'm the UK's leading law of attraction expert, award-winning life coach, two times best-selling author, manifestation YouTuber, speaker, and badass spiritual queen. I'm here to help you awaken and turn your dream life into an abundant reality and help you create your positively wealthy life full of happiness, abundance, and joy. I do this through sharing the power of law of attraction and spirituality. I hope my podcast will inspire you to raise your game and start living your best life today. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's episode. So thank you so much, guys, for joining me for another one of my Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast episodes. Today, I am so excited to have the lovely Angie Cho with us today. So Angie, if you don't know, is an architect and feng shui educator. She's guided thousands of people to harmonize their living spaces through the ancient practice of feng shui. Angie is the feng shui expert at The Spruce, co-founder of the Mindful Design Feng Shui School, co-host of the Holistic Spaces podcast, and owner of Angie Chow Architect. Angie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Emma. So nice to see you.
Oh, you too. Likewise. I'm so excited to talk all things home and feng shui today. I am such a big fan of feng shui and the home myself. I'm obsessed with design and interior. So I am so excited to learn so much from you today. But before we get into the juicy questions about feng shui, I just wanted to ask you a question that I ask every guest who comes on the podcast. So when did you spiritually awaken? What's your story?
So thank you for asking. So I would say, you know, I studied architecture and I was in design and I was working in New York and was really quite unhappy. And I was in my late 20s in my Saturn return. And I just couldn't believe that this was what life was about, just getting up, going to work. And architects work really long hours from like 9 to midnight sometimes. And I was really just so unhappy and really depressed. And so I took this trip with a good friend to Thailand. And just by chance, we met a Reiki practitioner, and I didn't even know what Reiki was, but my friend and I decided to have a session with him, and I had a huge epiphany, and I realized that I needed to change my life, and I really needed to start looking more internally and examining things and look into spirituality. So I came back to New York City, and I started studying yoga and meditation. And then after my eyes were opened to spirituality, I realized, you know, how do I actually bring this into what I do every day? We spend so much time working. And so naturally that led me to feng shui. But then when I started studying, I was so delighted to discover that there was so much more to it. And I think with most people and with whatever you do, and whatever you love, when you dive deep, it really becomes quite a rich and nuanced practice. So it just completely resonated with me.
I can imagine. And it's like those epiphany moments, a bit like when I found the law of attraction and manifestation, like you're like, wow, okay, I want to know everything about this topic. I want to dive into it. I want to know everything. So that's amazing how Feng Shui found you. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So for anybody who's listening to this podcast, who, you know, all of us hopefully have a home, but may not know what Feng Shui is, they may think, you know, I know about putting crystals in my home, or, you know, I know about putting XYZ somewhere, but what is Feng Shui and where does it originate from?
So Feng Shui is an ancient art that comes from China. Although many, many cultures, almost every culture has some kind of geomantic practice where they look at how to position themselves in their space to receive the most energy, to be in the safest location. And so Feng Shui just, Feng Shui developed in China and influenced, you know, China's a huge country and was quite influential. So it influenced all throughout Asia. And although maybe the dictionary definition of feng shui would be about looking at the flow of energy in your home to create more support and to be able to optimize your life, I have my own definition of feng shui based on my understanding and my focus on meditation and spiritual practice. I look at feng shui as a mindfulness of spaces, about starting to open your eyes, slowing down and paying attention to your environment and your home, and recognizing that you are interconnected and interdependent with the spaces around you. And in turn, we're not separate, that we can, that we're all integrated. And how do we look at the bigger picture? How do we look at how to be more mindful of our environment, but also how do we create a space that actually makes us happy rather than creates more difficulty for us?
And I think that's such a key element that a lot of people really struggle with, is, you know, they might have quite small spaces, or they might have more challenges with those spaces. So they're like, okay, how can I optimize this space? How can I make it more flowing? And I think it's really amazing when you actually look into feng shui, how just really simple things can just really change a space and really help that energy or qi flow. And really just, yeah, like create so much more abundance. And I read a book really recently called The Happy Home, and it was just wild, like learning. I'm probably going to pronounce this awfully. Is it the Guayas? The Guayas?
Guas.
Guas, that's it. Of your home. And like, I never knew any of this. And it was great because it showed me like what areas of my home are best for prosperity and abundance, what's best for relationships. And it really made me think, oh my God, like what artwork do I have in that area? What crystals do I have in that area? What could I spruce up? And it's really weird. Well, it's not weird. It's great because it's manifestation, but it's funny how just simply changing a few things in those areas can really make the world of difference in your living space, because we spend so much time in our homes. So it makes sense that we need to create that flow of energy and that flow of abundance. And I think people often just think, oh, it's just decor, it's just imagery or artwork. But actually, you know, yes, those things are relevant, but it's also, like you say, the positioning and how to utilize that space as well. So how can we use feng shui to manifest our dreams, Angie?
Well, I think that the first step is to recognize how important your space is, and to your point, that it's not necessarily about decor or how things look. There's often a misconception that you need, I don't know where this comes from, but people think do you need a lot of money to have good feng shui? And it's not. Whether you have a small space or a large space, you can create what you want and do the best with what you have, and recognize that. And even a small room can be a palace if you have the intention, right? So to manifest your dreams, I think, you know, I was listening to one of your prior episodes when you talked about slowing down. And I think one of the main things that feng shui allows us to do, and most spiritual practices encourage, is for us to slow down and start to notice and be mindful of our environment, whether that's our inner environment or our outer environment, which are not actually separate. And that's what feng shui is about. It's not a separate thing. And so when we can slow down, we can start to see that there are messages from the phenomenal world that we want, that we can hear, that we could receive from. So part of, I think, manifesting your dreams is to know what your dream is, to listen to what's inside, to acknowledge what makes your heart sing. And often that may shift. Like when I started studying feng shui, I had so many ideas of what my dreams were, and they continually change. And sometimes I usually get what I want. And then I say, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to give that back. It's not really, I'm always finessing it. So to manifest your dreams, you begin to look at your environment and see that even maybe, like you said, placing something, you have the power to maybe place a crystal with intention in one area of your room. And then you can observe and see what happens, and then see what else happens in that area of the room and how that reflects what you want in your life. And one really straightforward way to look at how to manifest your dreams is a principle in feng shui called the command position. And it's about how to locate yourself in your spaces, specifically if we're going to talk about like manifesting something in regards to our personal growth or career, let's say your desk, right? And or your bed also, because your bed represents you and it's your most private area. So when you set yourself up, when you're lying in bed or you're sitting at your desk, so your back is to the door, you're actually elevating your levels of your fight or flight. You're elevating your adrenals. You're making yourself more stressed out. And it could be very subtle, but all of those things create obstacles to manifesting our dreams. And we're literally turning away from our dreams, because in feng shui, our doors represent how opportunities come to us. So when your back is to the door, you're turning your back to what can walk in through your door, what opportunities you never knew, what dreams you could see happen in your life. And so simply changing your position in a room physically can change your position in your life metaphorically and energetically. So you can begin to see clearly, be aware of your environment, and then see, oftentimes naturally, the universe will show you what path to take.
And it's interesting you say that, because my office desk is with my back to the door, and I'm like, oh crap, how am I going to reschedule my whole office? So my back isn't to the door now.
But when you're on your podcast, are you facing it?
Yeah, I'm facing. So normally I'm facing the other way. And then, yeah, when I'm facing the podcast, I'm facing the door, which is great. But it's interesting, because I actually love working from bed too. And I have to be honest with that. My creativity flows so much. So like all my books, everything I do, like really creative, is created in bed. And
oh, wow.
I feel like, God, that's so lazy. Like people must think that's really lazy. But now you say it, I'm like, well, actually, a lot of those opportunities I come in when that door's facing me, not when I'm here at that desk with my back turned to it. So it's interesting you say that. And I'm sure so many people listening will be so intrigued by all of this, because it's funny, isn't it? And I remember when I learned what my corner of prosperity and abundance was, it was actually the other side of the bed that I don't sleep in. So obviously like that bedside table is just, you know, decorative, but it's nothing special because I don't sleep that side. Mm-hmm. But my partner's only here at weekends, so, you know, I don't make a big fuss about it. But as soon as I put like citrine crystals, what's the goddess called, Lakshmi, I put a photo of her in there, and some other things, oh my God, how that changed the abundance, just from doing really small things. So I think it's great that you don't have to sometimes upheave your whole room location and change everything. Even just small things can really promote that abundance as well, which leads me on to a question I'm sure is on everybody's lips listening, is how can feng shui help us to attract abundance?
So I think what you offered, or your experience, is one of the simple ways to look at feng shui and see how you can use it to attract abundance. So there's that Bagua that you referred to, and there, Bagua means eight areas, and a gua is an area. And so one of those guas is related to abundance, but there's also many different levels to it. It's related to self-worth. It's related to your how you value yourself. It's related to your confidence. And that is, like, say we're going to look at your bedroom. You would stand in the doorway of your bedroom looking in the far left corner is typically your abundance area. And that's great that you noticed there was, it was an area that wasn't having much activity and was maybe a little bit neglected because it wasn't necessarily in your daily view. But now you've taken the time and with some intention offered things that are precious and that relate to your definition and your the way that you view abundance in the world. So that's really like as simple as it can get. You can put something there like citrine, because citrine represents abundance and prosperity, and or Lakshmi, who's a goddess of prosperity. Or you could also put something very simple like a plant. And one trick that I really like, let me backtrack a little bit. One reason why a plant is great there, because that area is related to the wood element, and wood is about growth, new beginnings, and fresh starts. And it brings in nature and nature spirits into your home. And so bringing in a living green plant and putting it in that area, if you have, you know, the means to take care of it and there's enough light in that corner, you can bring in this metaphor of growth and slow and steady growth, because you have to really tend to a plant, and it's not going to go from a small plant to a big plant very quickly, but you could see how it can flourish based on your attention and how much love you give it. It's like a living thing that you have to take care of a little bit, just like your feeling, your self-esteem, your feelings of confidence.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So your value, your abundance, all of that needs to be tended to and nurtured. And then you could have slow and steady growth. And one little trick that I've been adding in recently too is instead of necessarily buying a new plant, you don't want to reuse a plant or take a plant from somewhere else in your home, because then that's bringing the same energy. But you can talk to your friends, especially any friends or colleagues or a mentor maybe that you have, they like plants, and you really look to them as a great example of someone who has abundance in their life. And you can ask them for a cutting. And then that cutting of their plant has a little bit of their chi, their energy. And that's kind of like a little starter for you to take their chi, not to take their chi, but to receive some of their offered chi. And then you can put in your love and allow it to flourish.
I love that. What a lovely idea. And like you say, it saves going out and buying a different plant. And it means that growth and that energy can come in through that cutting, which is lovely. I love that. Awesome. And any other tips for creating abundance in the home in general, like any do's or don'ts?
There is also an area that relates to your wealth and abundance. It's your stove, because your stove is how you nourish yourself. And that's, if you can be healthy and nourished, then you can do well in the world. I think we all learned through these last few years how important our health is. Like I actually got COVID the first week of lockdown, and you know, we didn't know what was going on. And I was like, am I going to die? What's happening? Right. So, I really started to realize, because I was sick for quite some time, how I couldn't do anything because I was sick. And that was the first time I felt any kind of chronic illness. So, our health is so important. So when we are at our stove, we can recognize that this represents, this is a part of our home and something in our home that nourishes us, and to give it a lot of loving care, keep it clean, keep it in working order, make sure all the burners work. Sometimes people, I think in England, you guys call it a cooker, right?
Yeah, we use both.
Okay. I have a client that's English, and he says like cupboard and cooker and things like that. And then,
cupboards then?
Huh?
What do you call a cupboard?
I think we call them cabinets and closets.
Wow. I never knew that. I thought cupboards was like a universal term.
Well, we do say cupboard, but it's more often we say cabinets, like the kitchen cabinets.
Yeah.
And then closets. But I was like, oh, okay. He's talking about the cabinets. He keeps saying cupboards.
You must have a right game trying to translate all the different sayings across the world.
It's fun. It's fun. So, So the cooker or the stove or your, where you have your burners. So one thing is, of course, you want to keep them clean, make sure they're all working, because if one is in disrepair, it means that there is part of your wealth that needs addressing. And then on top of that, the more burners, the more wealth. So you could even use a mirror to double your burners, like set up a mirror in such a way that it can reflect the image of your burners, and then you kind of attract more wealth. And of course, you do this with the intention. You put up the mirror and you know that you're putting it so you can double your burners. So you have the opportunity to nourish yourself more. And then my other suggestion is to bring some mindfulness into it. So now that you know that this is what your stove represents, because you know, when you cook, you're actually putting your energy into the food that you cook, right? So you want to bring in positive energy. So, you know, like the commanding position is also really great for the stove too, to be able to see the door without being directly in line with the door. Because when your back is to the door while you're cooking, you have that elevated fight or flight response, and you're actually putting that into your food. So what you could do, like at your desk as well, and at the stove, if you can't change the location, you can put a mirror so you can see behind you, like a little convex mirror. But the mindfulness aspect of the stove is, Emma, do you have a favorite burner?
Do you know what? I was actually thinking about this when you were talking about it. I was like, oh, I don't use the favorite, like I don't use all of the burners. I tend to use the middle one. So I think it's got five on it altogether, and I use the middle one.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so, five is great. That's a lot of burners.
Mm.
I have five as well. I upgraded from four when I did my renovation, but, so that's something to think about. Most people have a favorite burner that they use all the time, and why not expand your chi and expand your opportunities for wealth by taking a moment every day, going up to your stove, and instead of just beelining to your favorite burner, why not like take a moment, and you can go to that favorite burner, but maybe you say, oh, maybe I'll try this burner, see how this is working. And then that starts to create new patterns, new neural pathways to start to open up your mind to things that maybe have been right in front of your face, like those phenomenal, the messages from the phenomenal world, like messages your home has to tell you. you start to receive them because you can see clearly. Otherwise, we're just speeding by and ignoring everything. So by simply taking a moment every day, going to your stove, deciding what you want to do rather than just following your mindless like routine, and then just using it. And that's like a little way to change your habits.
I love it. So we're all going to be using our different burners now on our stoves, getting those mirrors in to reflect those burners. Because like you say, a lot of like, I'm trying to think of like all the houses I've lived in, like my friends' houses, my parents' house, all the backs are to the door, like you say, when you're mm-hmm. cooking. So having that mirror there is probably going to help so many people, like you say, be able to reflect that abundance and create more abundance at that stove. It's not the first time I've heard of that stove actually being really abundant. So my reminder to get on it, Angie. So what are your top tips for starting with feng shui? So if people are listening to this and this is like so fascinating and interesting, where would you suggest starting?
So a great place to start is your entry, the entry to your home. Your entry to your home, we call it the mouth of qi, and qi is life force energy. And that's where all the energy from the outside world comes into your space in your life. So the entry can be a place that is neglected a little bit. Like, when's the last time you cleaned the outside of your door or cleaned the frame around your door or shook out your welcome mat? All of those things give attention and give energy to that area of the home. And your entry is like your face to the world. And it's also the last place that you see before you go out into the world. So it greatly influences you and the first thing that you see when you come back. So take the time and look at how you can, spruce up your entry, like clean it, give some attention to it, sweep the area, sweep the qi, and then also make sure you can open the door all the way properly. A lot of people put a lot of stuff behind their door and they can't open the door all the way because that entry is the mouth of qi. It's where all the energy comes in. And if you have so much stuff behind your door that you can't open the door all the way, it means that only a percentage of a smaller portion of the energy can come to you, because you've actually closed the pathway for the qi to come into your life because you can't open the door all the way. So you want to really enhance your front door. And then another thing you can do at your front door is create a little bit of protection as well. So with crystals, I love to have maybe a piece of black tourmaline on each side of the door with the intention that it's going to clear and transmute anything that's challenging or not in your best interest and not in your highest good, not allowing those things to come into your home, but only allowing what will support you.
Amazing. And like, I definitely agree with the front entrance, because this was a challenge in that book I was reading. And I've lived in this house 5 years. I'd never cleaned the front, like the outside of the front door. I just assumed that the window cleaner was doing it, to be honest. So when I got there with my sponge and water, I was like, oh my God, this is awful. So the door is now clean. The windows are clean on the inside as well. And basically I had some like artwork to the side, just where my door is. And somebody else who came on the podcast was saying about getting some artwork where it was like flowing in instead of having like a rigid or like something which would signify blocks. You'd want like a nice flowing river or something like that. So I spent hours online trying to find some artwork of this, hours, Angie. And I finally found something that I thought represented a really nice flow. It felt very monochrome, very like me, very like what I loved in this home, very neutral. Ordered it and then shared it to all my mates and was like, right, what do you think? And some were like, yeah, great. Others like, not sure. And I was like, I'm not sure. Anyway, have you watched Stranger Things, Angie?
Say that again.
Have you watched Stranger Things?
Oh, no, I haven't.
One, you have to, it's epic. And secondly, you're probably not going to know what I'm on about here, but for anybody listening, I watched the final episode and basically Vecna, the bad guy, he opened up these portals and the shape of the portals was the shape of this artwork. And I screenshotted it and sent it to people. I was like, I can't unsee this now. So I now have Vecna's portals in my freaking entrance. I can't have this at all. So I tuned into the energy of the home. She wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. So I went and ordered a new piece of artwork and I love it now, but I couldn't believe it. After all of that hours of searching, I happened to get something that now reminds me of Vecna's portals, and it was not good chi, I'll tell you that.
Oh my, I'll have to look at that. But that's actually like really great, because it maybe your home really wanted you to touch in and actually talk directly and check in directly, saying, and that was like the message from the universe telling you, look, I want you to talk to your home and ask your home what you need, what you need and what it needs.
Absolutely. And I think that's been a game changer as well, because I'd never done that before. So communicating and like talking to the home was like a weird thing, but great, because I realized like we are friends and like we do have that harmonious relationship. And, you know, it was great to have that feedback of, yeah, change that artwork, it's not serving us, which was good. And now it feels very good. So it was a happy conclusion to my artwork fiasco. My last question to you today then, Angie, is what is one piece of life advice that you would like to leave my lovely listeners with?
I would say that the one piece of life advice that I would leave for the listeners is to start to recognize that your connection to your home is really important and find that area of your home that you have neglected, some area that you know that you're ignoring. And then you can pay attention, like you can use the Bagua map, and maybe I'll send you, I have a link to like a free download for the Bagua map and how to use it. So if your listeners don't know how to use it, they can use this and see what area of the Bagua map this neglected space is in, and then start to meditate and reflect upon what that could mean in your life and be curious about it. Like if you have a neglected area in your wealth quarter, right? Maybe that means that there's part of your wealth and abundance that you're not looking at. Maybe there's a leakage that you're not noticing. Maybe there's an opportunity that's been in front of you that you've been ignoring. Or if it's in your relationship area, which is the opposite corner, like in your bedroom, if you're looking in, it would be the far right corner. Maybe there's, If you're looking for a partner, maybe there's someone that's always been there that you've been neglecting and haven't seen, or maybe there's parts of your existing relationship that need a little bit more love. So these are great like indications and messages. Like your home clearly gave you a message, right? And these are ways that you can slow down and hear what your home has to say and learn from the world and learn from your home and learn from the universe what it is that you specifically need to do and what you're ready to open up to so that you can move to the next level in your life.
I love that. Amazing. And yes, we will include that link to the downloadable in the show notes so you can go and have a look at that and go and spruce up these areas. And I know what it's like. I'm an avid declutterer. I'm a Virgo. So I'm literally like on it every season. I'm like declutter, sort through, minimalism, clear surfaces. But even I have corners and drawers that I just don't look at. And I'm like, I'll deal with that another time. So that definitely is going to help me as well. Thank you, Angie. So where can my lovely listeners find out more about your work if they want to dive into this more, Angie?
They can go to my website, holisticspaces.com, or check me out on Instagram at Angie Cho.
Amazing. And tell us about your book as well you've got out.
Oh, yes. So I have a book called Holistic Spaces, 108 Ways to Create a Mindful and Peaceful Home. And it's 108 simple tips to apply feng shui principles and mindful principles to your home. And I'm actually working on a new book that's going to come out next year. So I'll have to tell you about it then.
Yes, please do. We're so excited. Well, thank you so much, Angie, for coming on today and telling us all these amazing top tips and tools. I'm going to implement all of them after this call. So I'm sure everybody else listening is like, right, I'm going to go clean that front door. I'm going to be looking at my stove. So thank you so much. It's been so great learning all of this. And now we can all create so much abundance and joy in our homes. Thank you so much, Angie.
Thank you.
So thank you so much, guys, for joining me for another one of my podcast episodes. I really hope you've enjoyed Angie and I's conversation today. As always, you can find a clickable link to Angie's work in the description below. And if you want to find out anything more about myself, my coaching, my videos, or anything else that I have to offer, you can find it all at emmamumford.co.uk. So thank you so much, guys, for listening. I appreciate all your views and listens. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new here, because I would love to see you again soon. Don't forget you can also join me in my free Law of Attraction support group over on Facebook, where you can join myself and other like-minded souls where we talk all things Law of Attraction and spirituality. I hope you have a fabulous week, whatever you're up to, and I'll see you all in my next podcast episode, which will be next week. Lots of love.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.